Well, good morning. It's a privilege and an honour to be here to share with you this morning. I bring you greetings and blessings from the God Blessed Abundantly Ramsden Heath CGC. If you want to know where God's moving, come down the road, because that's where it's all happening. I know it's happening here as well, but I mean, I'm just, you know, plugging a bit. You know, you've got to, haven't you? You know, for those of you who don't know me, I'm Simon Cox. With my wife Lisa, we pass the church down the road at Ramsden Heath CGC. I am shy, quiet, reserved. For those of you who don't know me, those that do, you don't have to voice everything you think, so you can keep it to yourselves. I am a little strange. I know that. I'm fully aware of that. But you know, God likes strange, doesn't he? Don't you think? It's us that likes things all neat and tidy and smart, and the I's dotted and the T crossed, you know. But Jesus, when he turned up at the pool of Siloam to the blind man, spat in the ground, made a load of mud and smacked him in the eye with it. And I want you to know, that's never crossed my mind for healing of a blind man. It hasn't. And yet we come to church and we want God in this nice, neat, tiny little package so that we can cope with it, when actually God's completely out of the box. The Father is completely and utterly out of the box. Well, if you want some proof, that's not the way to heal a blind man, in my opinion. And Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. So he must think out the box as well then. But we come into church and everything has to be neatly ordered. And oh no, not another song. Can you not just move on to the next one? I don't like this one. Listen, you're here. You might as well just join in. Because otherwise you're going to sit bored. And I don't like going places and being bored. I get bored very, very quickly, as most of you know. And I'm liable to mess about. Which is never a good thing when you're preaching. But it's just one of those things. So you might as well join in then, can't you? Let's just sit there being bored, moaning and grumbling about it. Yeah, I was in church in Nottingham. And that's why I talk proper, by the way, because I'm from Nottingham. I'm not from around here where you foreigners live and keep adding extra letters into words and things in. And you don't know what a cob is and things. A roll is something you put sausages in on a barbecue, okay? A cob is a round piece of bread that you put ham and salad in, okay? So don't worry, I'll educate you while I'm here. It's okay. Is there any English teachers in? Great, you're going to love me. Because I've got an auntie Sandra who lives in a castle who's got green grass and drives a bus. And she's got ducks on her pond. See? I teach the kids how to talk proper as well. You see, but the thing is with God, we have him all packaged up in this nice little parcel so that we can actually cope with it. But actually, this is the creator of heaven and of earth we're talking about. And for me, that's just a little bit bigger than a box I've got, to be quite honest with you. You know, he didn't do anything dramatic. He just said, and it was. Didn't he? You know, let there be light, and there was. Let there be this firmament. I love that, firmament. Something I use all the time in my English language. Firmament. It's popular in Nottingham, firmament. You know, let there be some land and some sea and some sky and this, that and the other. And then on the last day, he created man. Do you know why he created man on the last day? Do you know why? Because if he'd have created man on the first day, he'd have been going, oh, you don't want that over there, mate. You need it over here. And we'd have been dictating to God where he puts stuff. But actually, it's his creation, not mine. It's his church. It's not mine. It's his kingdom. It's not mine. I like to backseat drive a little bit with God. I don't know about you, but I like to. I like to have a bit of control. You know, I like to do deals with God. And, you know, if you could get rid of this Simon, things would be a lot better. Yeah, but I like doing that one. So can I swap these three for this one? And he goes, oh no, you can't. You know you can't. And a few months go by, and in the end I have to give in, because you do, don't you? Because the pressure just gets too much. Jonah found that out, told a whopper, went to Joppa. God made his life so unbearable, he came back anyway. Do you know something? I just need to say something to you. You can sit at the back, I'll follow you. I don't mind. I was begging you to sing. Not that's on there, but to sing. I was begging you to sing at the back. I was standing there going, sing, girl, sing. Oh, please, just sing from here. Whatever was in here. You were desperate to sing this morning from in here. And you kept holding it back. And at the end, you started to go a little bit. And I'm going, get a bit closer to the microphone. Go on, girl, sing. Sing. Do you know why? Because you have something with the presence of God that none of us have got. It's personal for you. And you need to share it. You need to sing from your heart. You really do. You need to let it go loudly. Get close to the microphone and sing. You need to get in a room somewhere with a microphone and sing at the top of your voice. So you get used to hearing, because that's the biggest problem for all of us. I don't know. I have that. I have a major problem. I've got a beautiful singing voice. It's just that nobody else seems to agree. But the worst thing that we can do is sing quietly because, well, we don't want everybody to hear. But have you ever thought if we all sang really loudly, then nobody would hear us? More importantly, you wouldn't be able to hear yourself. And I just need to ask you, who are you trying to impress? Me? Because I've got all on, to be quite honest, meeting with God, let alone listening. I ain't got time to listen to what your voice is like. I've got all on meeting, because I've got everything going through my head the same as what you've got. And I'm trying to get rid of all that rubbish. Don't you? So please, please, just sing from your heart. It'll be amazing. Don't worry what it sounds like. God will sort that out. There is a scripture, you know. I think it's in Psalms or Proverbs, and it says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. I cling to that. Doesn't say you have to sing beautifully, but you do. You sing beautifully. You've got a great voice, so sing. But from here, just close your eyes and go for it. Is that right? Yeah. Let it out. Don't keep hold of it any longer. You're denying all of us the blessing. You don't need that burden. See, there's people laughing, but actually that's the reality. If we withhold our gifting from people, we're actually denying them a blessing. And ultimately you as well. Anyway, I heard this great joke the other day. I love the way it's gone deathly quiet now. It's great. Who's next? I don't know. God might put somebody else out. I don't know. You never know what could happen in a big city. This bloke walks into this pet shop. And the bloke behind the counter says, yes, mate, can I help you? And he said, yeah, I've come to buy a wasp. And he says, a wasp? We don't sell wasps in here. And he says, well, you've got two in the window. So, what? I didn't say it was any good. I just said, I love that joke. He's brilliant. I think it was Tommy Cooper said it first, I think. Okay, right, okay. So that's, let's stop messing about now. Let's get down to some serious stuff. Always makes me laugh. I've got that written down here. Let's get on to some serious stuff. Always makes me laugh. If you've got a Bible, if you turn to John chapter 5, you'll be in the wrong place because I'm preaching from Ephesians chapter 3. So you do need to pay attention, by the way. If anybody starts to fall asleep, I will come over and hit you over the head with a microphone. You think I'm joking? I love it because preachers always go, I'm going to preach from Ephesians chapter 3, and then they start to read, and I'm like that. Oh, hang on. Somebody's nicked it. And then I have to do the holy flick. You know the holy flick, don't you? Do you know the holy flick? Do you not know the holy flick? Oh, hang on, let me put this down a minute. This is the holy flick. And we all do it. Why don't you just swallow your pride? Look at the front, because there's an index. It'll tell you where it is. Just a suggestion. That's why it's there. It's not there for anything else. First book of the Bible, preface. Isn't it? Moses was the first one to drive a motor car. Because it says, as Moses came over the hill in his triumph. Right, Ephesians chapter 3. Oh, hello, that got a better reception than the wasp. That's not very good, is it? Am I nearly finished? No. Oh, right. Okay. Okay. I'm getting paid. Woo! any rate, you'll be good. Okay, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. When I think of all of this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the benefit of you Gentiles, assuming, by the way, that you know God, gave me this special responsibility of extending his grace to you Gentiles. As I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. As you read what I have written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now by his Spirit he has revealed it to his body of holy apostles and prophets. And this is God's plan. This is good news, isn't it? This is God's plan, so pin your ears back. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches. That's good news, isn't it? Aye. Inherited by God's children, both are part of the same body and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ. By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people. Well, I'd like to beg to differ there. I would, because I think I'm the least deserving of God's people, actually. Don't you? Would you not like to have got... Oh, no, perhaps you're all perfect, perhaps. I don't know. He graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone, this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of our Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. Hallelujah. So please don't lose heart because of my trials here. I am suffering for you, so you should feel honoured. Listen, we can come boldly and confidently into the throne room of God that very few of us ever do. Very few of us ever do. How many honestly could put their hand on their heart and say, yeah, that's me, I come boldly and confidently every time into the throne room of God? So why don't we then? Because the scripture tells us that because of our faith in Christ Jesus and what he's done, we can walk boldly and confidently into the throne room of God. And yet we never do, or very rarely do. Weird, isn't it? Because actually, if you want to get super spiritual about it, faith without deeds is dead. But our faith in Christ Jesus gives us the ability to walk boldly and confidently into the throne room of God. So faith without works is dead then. So if we're not doing it, our faith's died. Because we're not actually putting it into practice. We tell everybody we can come boldly and confidently. We would all agree, wouldn't we? That we can come boldly and confidently into the throne room of God, but we never do. Because, well, I know what I'm like. Do you know what you're like? I know what I was thinking when that bloke down the A12 came past. You know, and then decided to cut me up. And I waved at him with as many fingers as I felt appropriate. It was 5, by the way. I went like that. I really wanted to use less. But I'm a man of God and I'm coming to speak the word. So you've got to be honouring. But that's why we don't. Because of our butts. But I thought this, but I said that, but I did this, but I didn't do what God asked me to do. So I can't come boldly and confidently then, can I? Well, why not? Why can't we come boldly and confidently, despite what we've done, despite what we've said? Why can we not come boldly and confidently? Because according to this here, it says because of Christ and our faith in him. It doesn't say because of the way we behave, think, talk, walk, and carry on that we're able to do it. It's because of Christ and what he did on the cross, dying, shedding his blood, washing his cleaner than the ridden snow, pure, that we can come boldly and confidently into the throne room in the presence of God, the Father in heaven. And yet none of us very rarely ever do. I like to have a look over the wall of the garden first, just to see if he's in. Don't we? We just like to have a quick, wonder if he's in a good mood. Well, because I know what I've done, so he's not going to be very happy with me. So I hope there's somebody else there, because I could come back tomorrow. Because tomorrow I'm going to read my Bible and I'm going to pray. And I'm going to do exactly what God asked me to do, so it'll be okay tomorrow. I can come boldly and confidently then. This is the way we operate. It's just me, is it? Oh, that's all right. There's two of us anyway, because there's a lady over there going like that. Don't look at her, because it's, you know. At least she's honest. But we just peer over the lot, see if he's in. Well, because I know what I'm like. But it's because of Christ and what he did. And our faith in him that enables us to come boldly and confidently into the throne room of God. Doesn't it? It's nothing to do with you or me. It's all about him. Listen, church is all about him. I know we play a big part, but it's actually all about him. If you notice, all the songs are about him and how great he is. That's how it should be. Because it is him that's great. It's because of him we're sitting here this morning. It's because of him you've been saved by grace, not by anything else. But by grace, you've been saved. So it's all about him, actually. So because of what he did, and our faith in him, and what he's done for each of us, we can come boldly and confidently into the throne room of God. That's awesome, isn't it? It's a nasty cough. You need to get something for that. You're going to leave your phone on, that's what's going to happen. The preacher's just going to rip you apart. It's like being in a comedy show. People always say you should just ignore it, you know. And I think, no, it's too good an opportunity. I have trouble resisting things that make me laugh. I really do. It was getting a bit heavy, wasn't it? So I thought I'd just lighten it a little bit. But look, guys, listen. Because of what Jesus did on the cross. Listen. If that's not the case, what was the point in Jesus dying? There isn't one. There's no point at all. He went through all that for nothing. But if he's not going to make it better for us and return that relationship with the creator of heaven and of earth and everything in it, if that wasn't the purpose of it, what was the point of him dying? You see, the thing for me is, this has to be simple, because I'm not clever enough to be intellectual about it. So it has to be simple for me. And I think God knew that. So he made it as easy as possible for every single one of us to come boldly and confidently into his presence. Why? Because of what Jesus did on the cross. Doesn't matter what attitude you've got. Doesn't matter what your heart's like. It's your faith in Jesus and what he's done for you that enables you to walk boldly and confidently into the throne room of God. Wow. This is the creator of heaven and earth and everything in it. And we could go and have a walk and a chat. We don't have to be scared. His love's unconditional. That's huge. So he knows you've done wrong. If you don't believe me, have a look at Genesis. Adam and Eve found out they were naked and they hid behind the bush. And if you ever doubt God's got a sense of humour, watch his reply. Where are you? As if he didn't know. If you doubt that, just have a quick look around the room. Would you pick you lot? So, it's always a question I have to ask myself. Would I have picked me to do this? No, I wouldn't, but God did. Well, I might as well give it a go then, see what happens. You never know, do you? I mean, you could have stood there this morning and you could have sung from your heart and the Spirit of God could have come with tongues of fire on everybody and blown through this place and all the people on the football pitch are going bump, 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 shabba dabba, scooby dooby dooby, I'll have a lager, she'll have a shandy. Couldn't they? Don't feel bad about it. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You step out of Christ Jesus, you're in a mess. Oh, that's frightened some of you, isn't it? I could tell that you could visibly feel the temperature go. There's another reason I think, why we don't come boldly and confidently into the throne room of God. I'll borrow you, Stephen, because I know you. You see, this is what happens to us, okay? You know, the scriptures, when it says that we're clothed in righteousness of Jesus, you understand that, don't you? You know that one, don't you? I love it when I do that, because when I'm sitting where you are, I always think, yeah, I've got no idea where that is. But I still go like that. Oh, yeah, I know that one. Okay. Can I just borrow this coat a minute? Is this yours?
Yeah.
Nice, isn't it? You could have told me before I picked it up. No wonder you wear gloves. Is that to put your coat on? You've gone red. Are you all right? Oh. Don't be embarrassed. It's fine. This is Stephen with his sin coat on. His coat of sin. Confessions later. This is Stephen with his sin coat on. And he comes to meet with Jesus. And he invites Jesus to be Lord of his life and come and take over. My life's not my own anymore, Lord. It all belongs to you. That's a very interesting thing to say, isn't it, when we carry on the way we do? Don't you think? My life's not my own anymore, Lord. It belongs to you. Come and be Lord of it. But he's either Lord of all of it or he's Lord of none. That hurts, doesn't it? I could feel it hurting me now. Well, because she's the Queen of England. She's not just the Queen of Essex and Nottingham and Shropshire. She's the Queen of all of it, the good bits and the bad bits. So Jesus is either Lord of your life or all of it or he's none. So he comes to Jesus. And Jesus goes, welcome. I'd love to. Let me put my coat of righteousness on you. Looking good, mate. Sort of men we are. They try to make us look bad, you know, but they can't do it. We're just so good. So, and this is what I believe a lot of us think. I used to think this. Does this ring true for anybody? That Jesus comes and puts his cloak of righteousness on us because we're clothed in righteousness. So when we come into the throne room of the Father, when the wind's blowing of the Holy Ghost, this happens. So all God can see then is the sin coat, can't he? But the scripture says that he's forgotten our sin as far as the east is from the west. Well, I'm not sure where the east finishes and the west begins. Or the other way. So that must be a long way then. See, and I think this is the misunderstanding that a lot of us have. I used to have this. That we come like this, so we can't come boldly and confident. Well, because we've got this tatty thing on still. This is what I think happens. Stephen comes with his sin coat to Jesus and says, here I am, Lord. Do whatever you want. Be Lord of my life. And Jesus goes, absolutely. Come on, son. Here. Wear this. No sin. Clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. Guess what the Father sees now when we come boldly and confidently? The righteousness of Jesus. You can go and sit down, mate. Thanks. Thanks. That puts a whole new perspective on it, doesn't it? When we realise that actually Jesus takes the sin coat off and puts on the cloak of righteousness. So now we can come boldly and confidently because we're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. And that's all the Father sees, is the righteousness of Jesus. He knows it's you. He's not an idiot. But you're clothed now in the righteousness of Jesus. When I go to my parents' house, I don't stand at the bottom of the drive going, oh, I wonder if they're in. If they're in a good mood or not. I don't do that. I don't even get to the door and do this. I wonder if they're going to be long. Come on, hurry up. I don't do that. I park my car on the drive, I get out, I walk up to the door and I go, and I walk straight in. Hello. Boldly and confidently I come. into my Father's house in the natural. And yet, when I come into my Father's house in the spiritual, oh, no, hang on a minute. Everything changes. And yet my spiritual Father's love is unconditional. I am clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, his only Son, that he sent to make this possible for me. And for you, just in case you were wondering. And yet I don't come like that. Very rarely do I come like that. I often come head bowed thinking, oh my goodness, he must have seen everything I've been thinking this week and everything I've said, he's heard, and all the things I've done, all the things I've not done, all the things I was supposed to do, all the things I said I should have done, and everything else. But he doesn't see all that. He knows all about that. He does know. You are aware he knows about everything, don't you? You are. Well, we're full of the Spirit of God, aren't we? Well, those of us that are full of the Holy Spirit, he says that he'll never leave you or forsake you. So on the basis of that, then, I'm believing that he'll be with us all the time. Yeah, we need to remember that. We need to remember that. He's with us all the time. Gentlemen, when you're flicking through the channels when your wife's gone to bed. Holy Spirit still sitting there. He is. Ladies, when you're gossiping about your friends, he's still there. Please don't tell me. He can't survive where there's sin. I've never heard so much garbage in my life. Jesus came and met with the people nobody else did. He came for the sinners. Please don't tell me he can't. Oh, dear God. Oh, well, when I go to the pub, he gets off. You're kidding yourself. He goes for a pint as well. That's why when you're going to pick up your third one or your fourth one or your fifth one, you get this little voice in your head going, do you think you should be having that one? It's the Spirit of God reminding you, perhaps you shouldn't be having any more. I'm not saying you can't drink. Jesus turned water into wine, for crying out loud. And it was the best wine. One cheap rubbish. Please don't tell me it was blackcurrant or it was non-alcoholic. Dear God, give me strength. It was the best. But it wasn't Jesus telling everybody it was the best. It was the guy whose wedding it was. It was him telling everybody. I don't know whether he believed in Jesus or not. I don't think he did. But he went around telling everybody it was the best he'd ever had. So he goes with you. Wherever we go, he goes. Never leave you. Never forsake you. Let me tell you something. He sits whispering in your ear. He does. Do you think you should be doing that? Do you think you should say that? Do you think you should really be joining in this slagging off of your friend? Do you not think perhaps you should either say something or walk away? Do you not think you should have a coat now? But let me tell you something. The minute you decide to glorify Jesus, here we go. Here's his opportunity. And he'll do something. He will. Well, because his job is to glorify Jesus. He'll be there all the time. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. You can't go around doing what you like. Because actually, it's not down to you anymore. Is it? Well, because you've said, my life's not mine anymore. So you've got no right to decide what you do then. Because you've given it away, freely. Nobody held a gun to your head. You freely gave it away, that authority and that responsibility. You gave that away to Jesus. This is good stuff, isn't it? I can tell by all the smiling faces that you're really enjoying this. I'll tell you something, if we could get a bit of a handle on this, then, oh my goodness, there's no telling what could happen. If I could get myself out of the way and give God a chance, there's no telling what could kick off. There isn't. Come on, Dan. See, what I need is somebody to remind me that when I get my iPad out and get up to preach, to not put it on 5 minutes shut down. Not that I look at it, I don't know why I bother. But if we could just get a handle on the fact that we're clothed in righteousness of Jesus, and that's what the Father sees as we approach. I'll tell you something, we'd come boldly and confidently then, because we're hiding behind Jesus, for want of a better expression. We are. And it don't matter what you've done and what you've said and what you've thought and all the rest of it. Don't matter. Because it's unconditional love. I struggle with unconditional love, I have to tell you. I can't quite get my head around it. That God would send his only son to demonstrate how to live in relationship with him. And then him die on a cross, shed his blood, broken most of the bones in his body. Must have been horrific. I can't imagine. And then to rise 3 days later, that's just beyond. I can't get my head around that, to be honest. I believe it happened. And I am so grateful. And thank you seems such a naff word for something like that. Do you know what I mean? For me, it's just naff. Thank you is just nowhere near enough, is it? So the least I could do then is do what he asks. Come boldly and confidently into the throne room of God. Come and sit on my knee, let's have a chat. I don't want you to get the wrong impression of the Father. He is not some warm, cuddly teddy bear whose lap you can jump on any time you feel like it. Because there are consequences to not being obedient. But in church we don't like to talk about that because that's not very nice. Well, we need to be aware that there are consequences to being disobedient. There are. And you might not get swallowed by a big fish. There's a consequence of him being disobedient. There are consequences for us to being disobedient as well. But if we could come to the Father and just tell him everything and pray, just chat. Praying is just chatting with God, in my opinion. With God, not at him, with him. I mean, a two-way job. The problem is we often do the one way and then we forget to wait for the answer. Let me tell you, I'm the sort of person that if you ask me something and just walked off, I wouldn't talk to you for very long. I'd avoid you because there's no point in me talking to you because you're not waiting for the answer. But God's not like that. He'll wait every time. He will. The decent thing to do is to wait for the answer and then do. Do. We need to walk the walk as well as talk the talk. We do. Because faith without works is dead. So we come boldly. Hi, Dad. How you doing? Do you know, I've had terrible day. I have. This has gone wrong. That's gone wrong. I've thought this. I've said this. And he goes, okay, look. I'll forget that. Let's go tomorrow. Tomorrow, you need to be doing this. You need to sing from your heart tomorrow. You do. You do. You need to sing from your heart tomorrow loudly. That'd be great. Don't worry about who's listening or what anybody else says. Ignore them. You're not doing it for their benefit. You're doing it for his. That's the key. You know? My friend at the back, God says to you, stand up straight. Be the man I'm called you to be. Don't look around. I'm talking to you at the back of the grey shirt. Don't panic. It's okay. Stand up straight. Stand up straight. Are you ready? Are you ready for anything that God's got for you? You hope so. Fantastic. I love that answer. Because it's honest. But you see, faith is being sure of what you hope for. So there's something for faith to be built upon then. Because you could have said, no, mate, you've got no chance. God's going to put people in your path that's going to make you go, ugh. All you need to do is just sit down and have coffee with them. And let him do the rest. Don't force the issue. Okay? But just have coffee with them. Meet with them. You might not want to, but meet with them. Because these people are going to radically change your life. Okay? Brilliant. Great answer. I love hope so. Well, because it's honest. In church, we're too false. Are you ready for what God's got me? Oh, yes, absolutely. Of course I am. I can't wait. God says, okay, go out on the football pitch because somebody's broke their leg. Lay hands on them and heal them. What's your response? Oh, sorry, I thought you said you were ready. Yeah, come on, let's get this thing on the ground here. Let's live in the hairy, fairy, super spiritual land up here. I'm too fat and heavy for that. I live down here. We need to be careful what we pray sometimes and what our response is, because God is listening. Isn't he? And the scripture says, ask and you shall receive for the glory of the kingdom. Yeah, but I didn't mean that, God. I meant in this way. Oh, so you've taken control again. You see, if we come boldly and confidently into the throne room of God, all we'll want to do is serve him. Because I don't think we'll be standing up for long, to be quite honest. Because the awesomeness and the majesty and the glory of God would hit us. You know, when we have these little snippets of the kingdom of God coming to heaven and people fall over and things. That's fine, I don't mind if you fall over. I'm interested in how you're getting back up. I don't care if you fall over or not. I want to know what you'll be like when you get back up again. Because if you're going to go down one way and come up exactly the same way, you might as well stand on your feet. There's no point. You're wasting your time. You're making yourself look silly. You're cleaning the floor, but... So imagine what it's like walking into the presence of God the Father. Boldly and confidently. I'm going to do my Essex walk. What was that then? I think all my knees just disjointed then. It was weird. I'm not going to do it now because I can't do it. I can't remember. And we walk boldly and confidently into the throne room of God. And... Oh, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. Holy is the Lamb, worthy of my praise. I've suddenly forgot all about me. I forgot about me altogether now, all of a sudden. It's all become about him. Now there's an opportunity. Now there's an opportunity for God to do something. There's no clocks in this place. You know, when everybody gets up and walks out, I'll stop. Am I right, Tammy? I need to be finished 12:05. Brilliant. Love it. It's great. Right, okay. I better hurry up, hadn't I? But you see, we put so many buts in the way. But this, but that, but I'm too young. But I don't know what I'm doing. I'm too old. I don't feel very well today. I just need a holiday. I just need a new car. If I could just move out, things would be all right. And then I'd do it. You're right, of course you would. You didn't do it last time you said it, but this time's different, I know. So it's all our butts that cause the issue. And the fact that we're dressed in the sin coat still with the righteousness over the top, when actually we're not. We've been set free from that. We're now clothed in the righteousness of Jesus and nothing else. And that's what the Father sees when we come. I just want you to just read. I just want to read a little bit with you on the rest of Ephesians chapter 3. Starting at verse 14, because that's where I finished. When I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will come and make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Do you know something? You can walk boldly and confidently into the throne room of God and take whatever you need to fulfill his plan for your life. Wow. Just think about that for a moment. You just think about that personally. Close your eyes. Just close your eyes. Just think about that for a moment. You come boldly and confidently into the throne room of God. Lord, I've got this situation at work and I need your wisdom. Great, take it. Here it is, take it. Lord, I need compassion for the lost. Here, take it. I need your strength, Lord. Here, take it. I need the power of your kingdom in my life so I can glorify you more. Here, take it. Take whatever you need. It's all on offer. It's all free. Take whatever it is you need. So we can take whatever we want when we come and meet with God. I do think sometimes as a speaker that I use all this language about getting in the presence of God, and actually what on earth does that mean? I don't know about you, it's probably just me again because I am a bit weird. But, you know, I think I know what that means, but do I really? No. I'm going to be honest with you, I don't think I actually do know what that means. I'll tell you what it means for me. When I'm meeting with God, I could stay there all day. Oh, bless you, I could stay there all day. I don't think my eyes could cope with the amount of tears that come out, but I would love to stay there all day. Because there's this, I'm a man, I'm not a super spiritualite, it's got to be down here. For me, there's this overwhelming peace that comes over me, in me, through me, and I can just stand there. And I don't know whether it's the same for you, it probably isn't, because we're all individuals and we're all unique, so why would it be? But I could just stand there sometimes and I go, oh, this is great. So great to be in your presence, Father. It's awesome. Oh, I don't want to leave here. I want to stay here. And he says, stay as long as you like. Stay as long as you like. And I'll guarantee you within 30 seconds my mind's going, you need to go shopping. You've got the washing machine and he's empty. And I'm thinking, no, this is more important. Father, I'm staying here. I don't want to leave this. I want to stay here. Oh, this is incredible. It's awesome. And the tears start to run down my face. I don't know why. I'm not miserable. I'm not deliriously happy. And the tears start to run down, not every time. Don't think, I'm not some sort of wet weekend. But their tears just start, because I'm just overwhelmed by this. That's awesome. And if that's not the way you think the presence, well, it doesn't mean you're wrong. It just means you meet differently. That's all. It's weird, isn't it? We tell everybody in church we're individuals and we're all unique, and yet we come into church and everybody has to be the same. I struggle with that. You know, why can't you dance around at the back with flags? Why can't you lay on the floor at the front? Well, why can't you? You sing top of your voice if you like. I don't care. Because you're meeting with God. It's nothing to do with me. You know? So come. Boldly. Confidently. Clothed in Jesus. To the throne room of God. And take whatever you need. Let's pray. I like to close my eyes when I pray because I'm liable to mess about. I am. I don't know what's going to happen now, but I'm believing that something is. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come in our lives, Lord. Lord, you won't come unless we invite you. Lord, I invite you to be Lord and King of my life afresh today, Lord God, that I will come boldly and confidently into your presence, Father. Lord God, without shame, without guilt, without anything, clothed in Jesus, that righteousness, that right oneness with you. Father, that all the rubbish that's in my life, Lord, is God, it's huge. But Lord, I'm working on it one bit at a time, and I thank you for your grace and your love that keeps encouraging me and picking me up and building me up and strengthening me and encouraging me, Lord God. Father, I pray that for this whole congregation, Lord God, that the Spirit of God would fall right now in each of our lives. That there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that's eternal. It is. So, Father, strengthen, build, pour out your wisdom, release finances, health, Lord God. Whatever it is people are asking for, Father, I pray for the glory of your kingdom and your name. Would you do it in line with your word? Father, we thank you for all that's happening right now. And we give you praise, glory and honour in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.